The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. Let's be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it's a beautiful evening. Amen. As expected, a lot of us have traveled already for the election. But what you can do is you can share the link, the YouTube link on your Facebook page or WhatsApp status. Or people that are not here, people that have traveled for the election can tune in. Okay, it's a beautiful thing that in our country, people can travel to go and vote. And I tell you, that's a lot of hope. Don't you think so? Previous election, we beg people to go vote. But these ones, people want to go and vote. Hallelujah. And I tell you, like I told you last one, I believe that Nigeria will get it right. I believe in this country. You should have known that by now. Not in the physical, but in the spirit. Amen. Because in the physical, there is nothing to believe. But I believe in this country that will be better. And in case you don't know, our prayers have been answered. I hope you know. And if you look at the turn of events so far, you know that our prayers have been answered. But I'm going to sound another note of warning again like I did before. Whatever be the outcome of this election, don't lose your peace. You get the point? Don't lose your peace. We have prayed. We are praying. We all believe that we know the will of God for Nigeria. But you see, a lot can go on. We are praying that the plans of the wicked will not prevail over Nigeria. But then keep your peace. Hallelujah. I have a strong feeling that at the end of this whole season, we're going to sing the victory song over this country. And I believe everything in me. So whatever happens, keep your peace. Hallelujah. Let nothing make you lose your peace. Let nothing make you lose your peace. We will win. Hallelujah. We will win. Glory to God. Okay, so this evening, I'll continue. And today, try to round up our teaching on JC's last song. This series has been a blessing. Don't you think so? It's been an amazing blessing. And it's is the first personality study we are running this year. You see, and I told you, I already promised you that again and again at different times of the year, as the Lord will put it in my heart, I will take certain characters in the Bible and we're going to study them thoroughly. And the reason we are doing that, like I've always explained to you since we started, is the fact that, you know, something that I saw in the Bible one day, the Bible tells us there is nothing new under the sun. Most times, things that happen on earth, if you check history closely, you find that those things have happened before. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, how that we should follow men who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. So if we look at the lives that some men lived and how they patterned their lives, you can swear that if we pattern our lives that same way, we can have the same result that they have. Hebrews 6:11 and verse 12. Can have the same result that they have. And one warning I sounded for you on the first day is that you should realize that there is no perfect character in God's word apart from Jesus. I hope you know that. There is no perfect character. So just like we've been studying David, last week, for instance, somewhere in the teaching, I did a little digression to address some mistakes that David made. Remember that? Some mistakes, how he handled his family. You know, the kind of family that David had is not the kind of family that God wants anybody to have. I hope you know that. His family was marred by war, by strife, by rebellion. That's not the kind of home God wants us to raise. And even as we study this great man that has inspired us a lot, we must mark that one out too, not to follow it. Are you following me? Must mark it, not to follow it. And so, we're learning the life of this man. We've covered a whole lot. You know, last week was very impactful. How about you here last week? Let me see. You were here last week? Very powerful times. And, you know, at the time in that study last week, we began to ask ourselves, is this man human at all? The heart, the way he allowed God pass through him and to be a blessing generation. I know I went back again and I began to look at his life, what I taught you. I began to look at it again. And then I saw some other things I didn't even mention that last time about the heart of the man. You know what? We'll touch it today somewhere in the teaching. You know, you remember Mephibosheth? Do you remember Mephibosheth? That David showed so much mercy to. That letter turned against him. Do you remember that story? That turned against him. And David said, well, everything I've given this guy, pass it on to Ziba. Do you know when David finally was reinstated as king, Mephibosheth came back and apologized to David. And David forgave him. Hallelujah. And now told him, okay, the things I said, they should pass on to Ziba. You guys are now going to share it 50-50. And that's the heart of the man, David. Say amen. You know, it takes the love of God to do that. And as I tell you, if you've not been around for this series, go and go over them again. And I you know, we're thinking to that today. Remember Shimei? Remember Shimei? That was so last week. That when David was walking, he was cursing him and stoning him. Was he touching today again? He was cursing him and stoning him. By the time he came back as king, Shimei came and apologized. And one of the guys there said, Abishai, said, should I kill this guy? Should I waste him right now? And David rebuked him. I said, what do I have to do with you? Is it today we should be killing men in Israel? Nobody dies today. And he forgave the guy. I said, we're talking about the heart of the man. You find out that if you carry bitterness and grudge in your heart, it is too heavy a load to carry on this journey. Hallelujah. It's too heavy a load. One of the things I shared with you, what you must have noticed with me, especially if you've been here a couple of years, I do not stay where strife thrives. Once there is strife in a place, I'll move. No matter what. No matter what. And once God has sent me to master, once there is strife in a place, I move. Some of you remember when we were using one of the venues we were using, one of those Sundays we came to church, and there has been that, you know, some of our people have exchanged words with a pastor that was also in that particular vicinity. And I told my letters, I said, we are leaving this place by next month, immediately. I can't stay. You know, sometimes I tell people, your journey, you are going to is far. Some things are too heavy to carry on the journey. Are you guys following me? I remember when we had went at one other venue, and there was one issue after another. One of those days, there was a little chaos between myself and, you know, the people that were sitting on the venue. And I came to church the next Sunday morning, and I called leaders meeting, and I told them, we have to raise money and get out of this venue. That's not because I'm afraid. I've taught you, I'm coming to that today. That's not fear. You know, if you can, pursue peace with all men. If they don't want the peace, let me tell you, it is wisdom to separate yourself. We'll still come to the life of Abraham sometime this year. You learn that in the life of Abraham. Abraham, you are the one that God, I don't know why I'm going over this, but I'm sensing the Holy Ghost pushing me this direction. You are the one that God called. Leave your father's house. And Abraham left. Lot was just a tag along. He just tagged along and they went. And by the virtue of the blessing upon Abraham, Lot was also blessed. Lot also prospered. I get to the point. And then somewhere along the line, the herdsmen of Abraham began to have issues with the herdsmen of Lot. And this was a time for Lot to put his house in order. To warn these guys and say, do you guys know what you are doing? You want to fight Abraham? This is the one that carries the blessing. Lot did not do that. And that's dishonor. That's dishonor. But what we are learning is the life of Abraham. How that immediately happened, instead of coming to say, well, I'm going to choose. He told Lot, you choose first. Choose anywhere. If you go this way, I will go this way. And that's this. We are talking about men that have prioritized peace above their own personal comfort. Please follow what I'm talking about. Choose. And the man chose. He said, I'm going to choose this place. He chose the best. That's even foolishness. Your father said you should choose, and he chose. And of course, he chose. And you see how the story turned. You know, when I was teaching you supernatural love last year, I told you love will always win. Always. See, no matter, there is nothing you can do against love. Now, when you walk in love at first, you look stupid. But if you follow the story to the end, love will win. Love said immediately, Abraham, Lot was better from Abraham. The Lord told him, look to the right, to the left. As far as your eyes can see, I'll give to you. Including the Sodom that Lot chose. Look everywhere. Down the line, that Sodom was going to be destroyed. Guess who saved Lot from that destruction? Abraham stood and interceded for him. I feel what I'm talking about. You know, I think that when you read some of these Bible characters, one thing that should keep ringing in your head is, these are men of like passion like us. Hallelujah. They are not superhumans. I was saying it last Thursday. They're not superhumans. They're men like us. And if they could live this way, it's a challenge that someone can actually be the best that God wants us to be. Hallelujah. I will say a lot about David, how he conquered, how he won, and all that. So today I'm going to bring this teaching to an end by just giving you some very straight charge. I intend that today will be shorter in our study, as God will help us. And one of the things we look at in the life of David today, as we're going to bring this teaching to a close, is the fact that David became all that. Of course, David was a great man, you know, became all that God wanted him to be. But you see, one thing that stands out for me every time I study David, and I started to put this last, is how he was able to rise above limitations to become all that God wanted him to be. He was able, and I want to close with this charge today to challenge someone. David was able to rise above limitations. You see, the man David had so much limitations, and there were many reasons why he would not become the David that he became. And I can show you one or two of those reasons. Number one, you talk of the fact that the man came from a small family, came from a poor family. Amen. Came from a poor family. You know, I've mentioned it many times in this church, fatherhood is a leverage. Family is a leverage. If you come from a rich family, that's a big leverage. Say amen. It's not a lie, yo. Most rich people have rich fathers. Amen. But then David did not come from such a home. And it's not hard to see. By the time if you remember, there was a scripture we saw, I think that's 1 Samuel 17 and verse 28. How that when he came to the battlefield, Eliab, his elder brother, saw him and asked him, who did you leave? Look at that. Eliab, his elder brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? So Eliab referred to the sheep that the father had as few. Now, I told you that's a very insulting way to refer to your father's business. But then that tells you the capacity of the man, Jesse. He wasn't a rich man. Do you remember this? While looking at the fact that David was faithful even in small things. The sheep was few, but he was faithful with the sheep. That was the first day. But today I'm looking to the scripture to show you too that the man Jesse was not a rich man. He had just few sheep. That was his investment, few sheep. And that's the kind of family that David came from. And naturally, the odds were against him. Once you come from a poor home, the odds are against you. And that's the truth about life. But you see, the man was able to rise above those limitations. And that's what I want to say to someone, that the fact that you do not come from the best of homes is not the reason why you cannot become all that God wants you to become. I know the norm in this life is that most times, people that end up becoming rich are people whose fathers were rich or who have wealth in their lineage. But I tell you that you can come from the smallest of homes, from the poorest of homes, and God will lift you up. And I believe it totally. And I've seen it. You know, it was David that said that God can lift a man from the dust. He experienced it firsthand. I get the point. Firsthand. Coming from such a broke family, his family was so insignificant. Do you know something that blessed me when I was looking at this story? Do you know that before David killed Goliath, that David has served in Saul's palace? Are you aware? Are you aware? Yeah. Way before he killed Goliath. Now I'm going to show you something. That's in 1 Samuel 16. David was already there playing the instrument for him. Now watch. Now, the family was so insignificant that even though he served in Saul's, because Saul didn't know who he was. So by the time, it was after he killed Goliath in 1 Samuel 17 that Saul was like, whose son is this? I don't get the point. Such a family you could neglect. That's where David came from. And I want this to be a challenge to some of you. I don't know the village you came from. I don't know the family you came from. And I don't know where you are coming from. But I had something when I was growing up. It's rhymes, but I really liked and I believe in it. That your background should not be the reason why your back should be on the ground. Hallelujah. And I believe it totally. that you can come. You know, somebody said to me many years ago when I started ministry, and the guy was trying to draw, trace something for me, that most people that make it in ministry make it very big in the ministry. That either their fathers were in the ministry or their parents were rich. And, you know, I began to look at that and I began to see what people are saying. Well, it's somehow true. You know, Satan will show you what you want to see. Hallelujah. But I've seen people too, pastors, who come from families that nobody knows anything about. And they rose to become what they are today. Great men. And that's what we learn from David. That you can come from the worst of families and rise above limitations. Are you following me? And rise above limitations. I see people that limit themselves because they feel, oh, I wish my father had money. Oh, I wish we were from... Stop wishing. I wish my father had money. I wish things were different. I wish I was born in the U.S. You know, I told you guys, once you are born in Nigeria, the odds are against you already. Now, as if they give it to you, bam, the odds are against you. And you now come from a broke family. We have fast stories in this country. I know politicians can be very interesting and they can say a lot of crazy stuff. But at least we know, we heard stories of one of the presidents that once ruled this country, how that he went to school and he didn't even have shoes to go to school. Such stories should motivate you. And whether you say just politicians trying to lie or trying to, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that there was a time he didn't have shoes to wear to school. Such a man rose to become the president of this country. Are you following me, church? And so your family should not be a limitation. Some of you, you know, and see what happens. Most of us, because we come from poor homes, the poverty is not even in our pockets. It's in our mind. Somehow you just believe you can't rise above a certain limit because this is where your family is. Somehow you just believe you don't deserve some things. It's in the mind. It's in the mind. Are you following me? It's in the mind. That's what poverty is. Don't believe you deserve some things because your father, how can he... All these people that used to, you know, the rich. Now, the name that people call God is a very good name, in Igbo. But I don't like calling God that name. Okay, maybe even in English. They call it, in Igbo, they say, Chineku Mogbenye. I don't like that name. I'm not saying it's not true, but I just don't want to call God by that name. Say amen. No, he's my God. The God of wealthy people. The God of the rich. And that's what I want to refer to him. Because it's not about what you call God. It's about how you see yourself first. Because by the God of the poor, because something tells you we are the down and out. We are the, you know, the low class. I'm not the low class. Again, it doesn't matter where I'm coming from. And that's one thing that should settle in your head. Some of you, when you're thinking of starting your business or starting whatever, all you can imagine in your head is just having one small store where you're selling sugar and selling maggi. What of having one of the biggest of such stores in the States? But your head cannot comprehend it, and it's basically because of the family you come from. But a man called David came out from such a family, in a rich family, and became whatever he became in his own time. And that should encourage you. And that limitation you find with David is that possibility I gave you on the first day. The possibility that he was born out of wedlock. Remember I mentioned that first day. Yeah, a lot of Bible teachers, there's a lot of argument around this, but I'm just going to talk about it. A lot of Bible teachers believe that David was a child born out of wedlock. And so, for some reasons, for instance, scriptures like Psalm 51 verse 5, when he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. It is believed that he was a child born by a harlot or something like that. And, you know, another reason why they believe that, by the time you look at when Samuel asked for Jesse's children, he didn't present David. I don't get the point. You can't present such a child to Samuel. You might die. I don't even get the point. And that's even very powerful. You know why? Because by the fact in Israel, by the fact that you are born by a harlot, by an illegitimate child, the odds are against you already. What it brings to mind is the man Jephthah. Remember Jephthah? In Judges chapter 11, put that one up. Judges chapter 11 from verse 1. You know, the problem is that everything I'm calling, I have it in my head, so you have to be faster than my brain. Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. So, great father Gilead, but then mother harlot. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art son of a strange woman. The odds are against you already. Once they are born into that kind of system. But this was Jephthah. This was David. Go down, next verse. This was Jephthah. Jephthah fled from his brethren and all that. The man later became very wealthy. Very wealthy. And very powerful in his time. To the point that by the time they needed to fight their enemies, they sent for Jephthah. And he became their leader. What I'm trying to show is that there are different people that have had limitations. There are different reasons why you feel you cannot get to where you're supposed to get to. But we learn from scriptures that there are men who rose above those limitations and became all that God wanted them to be. David was such a man. Are you following me? He was such a man. Another powerful limitation I like talking about when I teach on David is the fact that he was a last born. Say amen. And by the fact that he was a last son, or last born, whichever one you say, you know, already tells you that, you see, people will not even believe in him. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, by the time he came to the battlefield to ask questions, you see how the eldest brother spoke to him. You see, David spoke to the young man that stood by. What shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and taken away the rivers from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now see the next verse. And people answered him after this man and saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. Now see verse 28. Pay attention here. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. For thou hast come down that thou must see the battle. Say, this small boy, what are you doing here? So it's not someone that you could even believe in. If when the father was told one of our children was going to be king, he was not in the plan. I get the point. Now, these are reasons that may make you feel like, well, I'll just be an average human being. I'll just be a simple person. But that's not how David became. From a last son, he led the entire Israel. Amen. And one other issue that I feel that we need to talk about that David had to overcome, one other limitation, is the fact that he was able to overcome the hatred that came from Saul. Now, I'm going to address this because God spoke to me strongly about this. I was just rushing to get to this point. The hatred that came from Saul. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, or chapter 18 now, verse 7, we began to read how Saul, he said, the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000. That's after he killed Goliath. There are women that put you in trouble. Amen. And Saul was very rough, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? Now see the next verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Of course, verse 10. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand. Were you in church on Sunday? You know, I was talking to you about familiar spirits on Sunday. Bad evil spirits. What came upon Saul? An evil spirit. What was Saul doing? He prophesied. Do you remember this on Sunday? He prophesied. Like an evil spirit came upon him. He was not prophesying. And they can be correct. Well, that's by the way. And David played with his hand as at other time, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. So the guy was prophesying with a javelin. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided it, so David dodged. Now, he was hated by the strongest authority in Israel. You can imagine the president of your nation is trying to kill you. I get what I'm talking about. Like, Buhari now. It's after your life. Hatred. The guy has sworn. And you know, these are some of the things that, and one of the things God said to me, it resounded in my ear this evening. He told me clearly, and I want to say it to you, everybody is not going to like you. And you must be able to rise above the hatred of men and become what that God wants you to be. You know, if David had been sulking, that nobody likes me, I'm just so hated. Eliab, my brother, does not like me. My father doesn't like me. He sent me to the wilderness. And now Saul too does not like me. The man hates me so much. You don't suck. Everybody will not like you. And if not anything, you are not rice. Say amen. Only if you are rice, everybody will like you. So I'm not even like rice. You know, one of the things that dropped in my head while I was meditating this evening, the Lord said to me, who is the best man that has ever walked this earth? The one that was full of love, that hurts no one. Who is the person? Jesus. They killed him. Now, I want you to see. They killed him. The best. Full of love. Hurts no one. Healed their sicknesses. Multiplied food for them. Are you following what I'm talking about? Walked on water. Calmed their sea. Everything. Raised their dead. You see a woman crying. The woman has lost the son. And he touched the corpse. And the guy came back to life. That was Jesus. Guess how they greeted him? With death. You see, if you are not able, some of us are too emotional. I don't want to say this to you. I'm too emotionally attached to life. Oh, they don't like me. Somebody says you are not good. Somebody says I don't like you. Somebody says you are stupid. And then you are sulking. He doesn't like me. And so, you must be able to rise above those limitations. Oh, I rose above hatred. Not just a confession. I rose above hatred. Some of you know, I grew up in a place of hatred. When I mean hatred, it's not hatred that is your mind. Practical hatred. And they were showing it. They will call you. They were calling. At a time, they began, some people took it upon themselves, picked the phone number of everybody that was ever working with me. Because I was talking to young people. Picked their parents' phone number and was calling them one by one, telling them one bad story or the other about me. And some people, I stayed within the same place. One said that I was gay. Like me and Amimi. No, reason that. You know the point is, the person they call the father to tell that story is still a member of our church today, and is even in this church now. Let me tell you something. There are some things that cannot. If you just start sulking, they don't like me. They call my name on big stages. It was a whole lot. Can I get to the point? I was labeled the leader of a cult group. Some of you know why, church. I'm preaching, I'm praying too much. And one of those days, I asked myself, and the people that were doing this thing, we are men of God, though, believers. I said, well, so what's the problem? So, should I become a club guy? So, would it have been better? I said, well, I'm just going to join the club and start organizing night parties. And it dawned on me that even if I do that, I'll still be hated. And let me tell you one way to rise above hatred. That's why I started that way. Don't fight back. When people are hating you, you see that energy you want to use and fight back is the energy you need to move forward. Are you following me? It's diverted energy. That energy you need to fight back is the energy you need to move forward. So Saul hated him. Now, I mean, the highest authority in Israel, the highest authority hated him. In 2 Samuel 16 verse 5, we've touched some of this, but I just want to look at them thoroughly again. 2 Samuel 16 verse 5. You see, when the King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out of a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Now look at the curses. Look at what somebody was telling David. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right, on his left. So he was stoning them, and thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. Hallelujah. Continue, come on. Thou man of Belial. The Lord had returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord had delivered the kingdom into the hand of thy son Absalom, because thou art taking the mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Hallelujah. And that was the insult. Hatred. Talking and stoning him. You know what I realized there? If you're on a marathon, or maybe you're running 100 meter dash, people are going to be cheering you. Others are going to be insulting you. You know the foolish thing to do? Imagine you're running, and some people are shouting at you, saying, he cannot run, or see his leg like matches. The stupid thing to do is to stop and tell them, it's a lie, I can run. At that point you are saying, I can run, it's a lie. They've overtaken you. Are you following me, church? The man knew the game. So when the guy said, let me kill this guy, he said, don't leave him. Leave him. Leave him. He knew how to handle hatred. Everybody's not going to like you. You know, somebody once said that if you want everybody to like you, you should sell ice cream. And I told the person, I said, even if you sell ice cream, everybody does not like you. Or do we all like ice cream? Let's try that again. Do we all like ice cream? You see the point. And that this is where some of us need to come up to a certain emotional maturity. Some persons don't move on in life because a certain young girl rejected them. So, you know, some crazy stuff that you guys do. So you've not been able to enter that relationship because a certain young guy or young girl rejected you. Everybody will not like you. Some will hate you for no just cause. Some will reject you for nothing. But you must rise above rejection. I had it clearly. Rise above rejection. Rise above hatred. And some of you, the hatred you feel is coming from family. And that was also the man, a man like David. But before I get to that family part, he was hated. Do you know by the time they finally was going to be made king, in 2 Samuel chapter 2, when Saul had died, they should have made him king. It was only one part of Israel that accepted him, Judah. The other 11 tribes rejected him, that he will not be their king. For 2 years, who is following I'm talking about? Are you following me? They rejected, they picked another, but remember I mentioned it last week, they picked Saul's son called Ish-bosheth and made him king. I said, we don't want this guy. So there can be so much rejection and you still rise out of that rejection. There can be so much hatred and you still rise above that hatred. Anyone that has not been able to rise above some of this emotional madness is not ready to conquer his world. Are you following me? Not ready to conquer his world. So he rose above it. So they rejected him many times. Of course, in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 15, just let me just show you about this Shimei guy. I quoted it. So let me just show you. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 15. You know, the king returned and all that. Next verse, verse 16. Verse 16, quickly, quickly. Come on, your hand should be fast. Hallelujah. The king returned to Jordan. Verse 17, verse 16, go back. And Shimei, the son of Gerai, Benjaminite, which was of Benjamin, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. So that Shimei that insulted him came back, the gods. But you know, that is where you have to be wise. What to do is not to start fighting. He came and said, oh, I know I messed up. I know I'm sorry. And they forgive him. The reason is the energy you use to fight your enemies is the energy you need to move forward. Don't pay attention to hatred. Don't pay attention to rejection. I used to tell you guys a story about Joel Austin. Joel Austin said when he took off from his father did a great work. You know, when your father leaves a very big shoe, his father was John Austin, who worked very closely with the likes of Brother Hagin and all that. Great man of God. Raised the church. I think there were a few thousands by the time he was dying. And then he's been praying. God has already told him that Joel was going to take over the ministry. So the first day Joel ever rose up to preach, he handed over, said it's done. So after the man died, Joel finished preaching on that first day. I was coming down the staircase. He said he overheard two women and they were talking. He said, the guy is trying, but he can never hit his father's level. They were just talking. They didn't know he was hearing him. He was hearing them. He's trying, but the father, you still see the difference. He needs to grow. You know, he will never get to his father's level. And if he had allowed those things to keep him down, hallelujah, you need to rise above. Some of it is the things people said to you that you need to rise above today. They said you wouldn't make it. Don't even try to prove a point that you can make it. Just move on with your life. Are you following me? They say you can never succeed. Don't try to prove a point. Don't try to prove a point. They say, oh, that one, he can never pastor a church. He will never do well.
He's not the best. Don't prove a point. Handle rejection very well. Rise above it. He had to face the same thing from his own personal, his own family. You remember last week, Absalom rose against him, his own son. Some of it is the things mommy said, the things daddy said, or the way they asked was, I know no father or no, and no mother. No father hates their children. Mothers don't hate their children. But I know sometimes they can act like they do. And some of us, they can really eat so deep. Let me already give you a counsel it's been long I give that counsel, but let me just go over it again. You see, if your parents ever hurt you, you must forgive your parents. Now, this is not just Bible, this is not just pastor preaching. If you don't forgive your parents totally, those things they did to you that you detest, you will repeat the same things to your children. Take it from me. That you say is a lie. You will remember I said it. Sometimes, do you not hear your father or your mother tell you what their parents did to them? And you're almost telling them, that's the same thing you are doing to me too. Are you following me this evening? No. And let me tell you why. Because any man you've not forgiven, any man you are hurting against, or you have something against, the thoughts of that man is filling your head. And whatever fills your heart, we show in your action. You don't plan for it to happen. So if there are things like that, you have to forgive and move on with your life. Because you don't rise against all these emotional stuffs, that literally can keep you down. So I don't know who I'm talking to. You came from a bad family. You came from a poor family. You had a terrible background. You can rise above all those things. There was another man in the Bible we read about called Jabez. His birth was terrible. In fact, they named him Jabez because Jabez means sufferhead. And that's how they named him Jabez. And the man rose above. He prayed one day and told Lord, oh, that you will enlarge my coast. And God heard his prayer. And he became great. You see, the only limitation is you. I don't get the point. I give this to you guys as an example every time I teach on this. We look at this country. You look at certain pastors. And then a certain person rises and begins to drag them. You know, in Nigeria now, we drag people very well. Like small gen. So they drag them. Sometimes, about a few years ago, a certain pastor was dragged to a point that people protested on a Sunday morning. How many of you remember then? And went to his church. Protested, went to his church. In fact, I watched some of those videos as his members were walking into church. They were insulting them. Ooh, your pastor is a rapist. Your pastor, it was that bad. So many members were shy to come to church because they would block the road, carrying placard, insulting them, trying to assault them. And when you see the whole court, it was like everybody rose against the man. I know this is a woman matter. And there are many women support groups in the country, you know now, as against men. Say amen. Hundreds of lawyers came in, threw their weight behind. Now, I'm not here to support or not support anybody, but look at the point. You would think that when those are happening, that these men will go down. I don't get the point. After all those things, what happens? They bounce back and they stay strong. Now, these are things that will happen to other people and they will go down. If you go down, you went down. Nobody brought you down. The limitation is you. Sometimes when this is happening, you think, this ministry will soon close. One of the most criticized men in this country, let me not call his name, the most criticized person in this country. He says he's a ritualist. He's that. Well, people even have proof. But the church is moving on. Now, whether it's real or not, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to show you the heart. I get to the point. How many of you know that when the likes of Pastor Chris began to preach new creation realities, he was persecuted. I mean persecution. Real persecution. And some of you grew up knowing Pastor Chris as that pastor that fries his head is a fake pastor. Is that right? That was the news all the time. Now, that is enough to bring a man down in that time that Nigeria was still in a very dark place. Please follow what I'm saying. There are limitations that you must not let to bring you down. Must rise above them. I grew up knowing Pastor Chris as that pastor that used to fry his head. But I started watching his videos. I said, I like what this, I don't know what I'm saying, but I like what this man is saying. Hallelujah. I watch videos, watch miracle videos, animals for miracles. You know, let me tell you some things about history. Churches in Nigeria. Do you know that it was because of Pastor Chris that they banned miracles from showing on television? He used to show animals for miracle on NT on all these things. They dragged him to a point, they banned it. That's how he went to start his own TV station. He's the first to own a TV station in Africa, the first pastor. I know what I'm talking about. There are things that will be raised against you. If you are someone, that's what I tell you, some of you, if you are so chicken hearted, people say, oh, you are very stupid, that crying. You don't want to progress in this life. There are limitations. I see people make excuses. I told you guys, excuses for me are good reasons for failure. That's what they are. My family is so broke. We couldn't even afford. I see people all over the place. Why have you not gone to school? Say, there's nobody to train me in school. Will you stop that rubbish and go and buy a jump? He says, how will I go? Buy it first. Let me see what God will be doing in heaven to watch you not go to school. Go and buy it. Where we are alive, you will go. Are you following me? Go buy it. He said, why have not I would have built a very big business? If someone just give me 10 million, see, brother, nobody's giving you 10 million. It won't happen. So what do? Gather yourself together. Decide that you must break through. I get what I'm talking about. You must break that limitation. That can have your own story. You read about rich guys. I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about everything. If you do not agree to rise above your limitation, you will remain low. You read about rich guys. I read the story of this guy, Koskaris. I've read Koskaris. I read about Koskaris. As in, from the street, he just went for this boy that you go, didn't go to school. When did your guy settled in? And Koskaris, one of the first five Igbo men alive. First richest Igbo men alive. First five. Koskaris. You hear him talk? He doesn't speak like me. No good grammar. Nothing. So somebody did not have the opportunity to go to school, but decided to rise above those limitations. And I can tell you for free, the limitations are not strong enough to stop you. When there was a time, it was a limitation to be a woman. Even in the ministry, some people broke through. The likes of Mara Woodward Etta. Those days, it was a crime for a woman to ever preach. I follow the point. It was a crime. The likes of Catherine Kuman. The woman, she broke through so much that Katuma preached at the Vatican. If you know what that means. A woman. Like at the Vatican, where Pope is. For a church like Catholic Church that does not even allow women to stand on their pulpits to preach. As far back as then. I get the point. The woman had a bad start. Entered a bad marriage, a terrible one. But if you stay down, you left yourself down. Rise above the limitations. Rise above the struggles. Rise above the setbacks. Rise above the bad background. Rise above and press on, my guy. Press on. I get to the point. At the end of your life, you will not serve your children excuses. You have to sing your victory song to them. Are you following me? You won't serve them excuses. You won't lie down on your deathbed and telling them, you see, your father failed because his father failed. His father failed because his grandfather failed. His grandfather failed because his great-grandfather failed. So, my son, you're going to fail. Glory to God. If no one has ever broken through your family, be the first. And I'm not talking about going to compete. I'm trying to put a mindset in you that whatever be the limitation, I'm going to rise above it. Rejection, rise above it. Hatred, rise above it. Hallelujah. Have you ever been rejected? It's one of the most painful things to overcome. if you feel rejected. And that's where books like Letters to My Heart come to play a role. But you see, books like that, they are going to work on you if you allow them to work on you. If you allow them, they will not stop you. Read about all the people, everyone that is standing at the top today. Go listen to them. There were limitations they had to rise above. I get to the point. Have you heard of Joyce Meyer? About Joyce Meyer. Abused by her own dad. By her own dad. Entered an abusive marriage. Because of course, if you're abused by your dad, you most possibly enter an abusive marriage if God doesn't heal your heart. You see what I'm talking about? If you don't, you will just reproduce your father's life. But then, from that mess, God raised a voice. And that is not because God decided to single her out. That's because she refused to stay down by those limitations. Hallelujah. And I strongly believe that some of you that are running business and running companies here, that God can make your company the number one. And that's I believe it totally. God can make your company the number one. God can raise you from just being someone selling one or two things to become a major distributor in the country. And I believe in that totally. I believe in it totally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe that through me and through us, God is raising a church that will be a voice from the east of Nigeria to the whole world. I believe that. That it doesn't matter the limitations that stand before us. Hallelujah. My father is blessed. Great man. He is great in my eyes. But he was not great in the eyes of many people. He was a common man in the eyes of many people. But that's not any excuse. And I want to say this by the Holy Ghost. If you came up from a home, either a broken home, or a home where your father or your mother was abusive, or maybe they were always fighting, there is no peace in your home. Decide that you will rise above that particular experience and build a beautiful family. Decide and believe that it can happen. There's no law that says that because your father used to beat your mom, you should also beat your mom or your wife. Make up your mind. I'm going to rise above what is before me. I put it in my notes boldly. There is no limitation big enough to stop me. No limitation big enough to stop me. You know, the reason I tell you the stories of men is personality study we are doing today. It's so that you will learn that people have had. I told you about Kenneth Copeland. You know, I talk about the man a lot. How that at a time in his life, you know, when Prosperity Summit is coming in May. I've told you, Abby. Throughout that month, one of the people I'm going to teach and say a lot about them is Kenneth Copeland. How a man can rise from that level. Where he said, I was so much in debt. Him and the wife. So was so much, in fact, he said, we are supernaturally in debt. You know, it always makes me laugh into my head. He said, because it takes the supernatural to be in that kind of debt. It takes the power of God, or the power of Satan, to be owing like that. He said, we owed every single person in our lives who are owing. From their mother to their father to their sister, everybody. No, you borrow to a point. You don't know who to borrow from again. So you call someone you borrowed from before and say, I know I'm owing you. I still remember, but that's why, you know, sometimes when, let me teach you something. Don't envy rich, as in don't talk against rich people. Do you understand me? Don't see wealth and begin to insult wealth. He said, oh, how did they get their money? See, let me tell you. For anything that will make a man at that level become what he is today, is God. I get to the point. No matter what you say. He said, pastors, they used to collect people tithe and offering. That's not the only pastor in the world. If you know the kind of wealth that Kenneth Copeland controls as a person. I said, when anytime there is crisis in any part of the world, Kenneth Copeland sends his private planes to go help people there. That's what I'm talking about. Say amen. And to know that such a man had a time, Gloria Copeland said, that's the wife. And it was a time the man had only one trouser. He said she sewed the trouser and sewed with needle and thread, sewed the trouser. And at the time, the man was getting slim. He said it got to a time the trouser couldn't enter him, so she had to adjust the trouser to the point that the two belt holders at the back met. That's supernatural. Pogo cannot. That's supernatural. And to know that God can lift somebody like that, are you getting me? We are not going to end small. I'd like you to believe it totally and let that be your mindset. Let it be your mindset. We are not going to end small. The Bible tells us in the book of Job, put up that scripture. Though your beginning was small, your latter end shall greatly increase. I believe it. That the man's beginning may be small, and his latter end. His latter end. Glory to God. I wanted to put it up and up because I want you to go home thinking about it and memorizing it because it just dropped to me now. Ooh, that's in the book of Job. Though your beginning was small. Job 8 verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy later end shall greatly increase. See, a man can have a small beginning and have a great ending. Remember I told you on the first of this teaching, how not to despise the days of small beginning. Hallelujah. And I want to say one more thing, you know. One very thing that I believe that everybody must possess, and I saw strongly in the life of David, and God instructed me to talk about this particularly, about David, is the fact that he was a courageous man and he was bold. He takes bold, and that's what I'm going to challenge you. If you're going to rise above your limitation, you need a lot of boldness and courage. I taught you, the best belongs to the bold. You know what I said? The best belongs to the bold. You know, last week we were trying to make a comparison. I will show you how David was a man that once he comes to family, you hurt him, he forgives you. When it comes to covenant, but that I was also showing you that last week. That didn't define him as a weak man. He was bold. He wasn't afraid of anything. If he does not fight you, it's not because he's weak. He wants to leave you. You know, I have an issue with a set of Christians who are too timid to face life. It takes boldness and courage to break through. It takes boldness. And one of the things I learned about David, I'll just touch some things. One, David was bold. The first place to see his boldness is towards God. He was bold towards God. And I'm pointing this out for some reason. If you study his prayer life, he spoke to God freely. He told God anything he wanted to tell God. Now, some requests that David made of God, I'm wondering, what is his confidence that God will answer this prayer? And it's instructive for me because that was in the old covenant. Before Jesus came. Before Jesus came as the way, a man could freely talk to God like that. Not in the temple, anywhere. I get to the point. That's boldness. And I like to know that same boldness. Why I pointed it out is, this is the secret of boldness. If you can be bold towards God, then you should fear nobody. Do you know how bold we are towards God? We stand here, we are calling God Father. We are talking to Him, Dad, I have my need. Sometimes, has God ever annoyed you, or you feel God annoyed you, and you complain to Him? Have you ever done that? And He doesn't strike you. That's your Father. That's how bold David was. That's how bold you should be. That's why we don't come to prayer guessing whether we'll be answered or not. The Bible tells us that we should come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. So he was bold. First of all, towards God. And he reflected his prayer life. Then that boldness that towards God now reflected the fact that the guy was bold towards any opposition. There was nothing. The reason he was able to rise above every limitation was because he was very bold. Once anything is standing before him, look at how he dealt with Goliath. First of all, the lion and the bear. First Samuel 17 verse 34. He told Saul, see, I was keeping my father's sheep. A lion came one day. the beer game. I ran after it. I tore it apart. That's boldness. That's the spirit of might. And that is one heart everybody that will break through must carry. That heart that is bold towards any opposition, towards anything that will rise against you, must be bold. How many of you have not been able to execute some projects God has put in your heart because you're afraid? You're afraid. What if I fail? Must be bold. Next after the lion and the bear was Goliath. I want to look at that one from verse 51. Is it 51? 41. 1 Samuel 17, 41. The man began to insult David. Began to curse David. And you know, one manifestation of boldness is free speaking. I taught you that, Abby. The word boldness in the Greek is parousia. It means freedom of speech. That's what it means. It means free speaking. So the man began to curse David. I will tear you apart. David replied him. See that boldness? You come to me this way. I'm going to come to you this way. You must learn to be bold when you're facing life. I told you, boldness and audacity is attractive. Very, very. I told some of you, you know, you can stand before an interview and not know what to say. But you're speaking boldly and they give you the job. Like you're speaking nonsense with confidence. Maybe they asked you what is photosynthesis. I just say, well, thank you very much for that question. Photosynthesis is the science of exploration. You know, there is something you need to understand about exploration. The man is wondering, wow, why are you talking with so much bold? You know, that somebody can be so bold, you now begin to question what you know. Am I sure this boy is not correct? When whatever comes at you, reply with boldness. Psalm 18 verse 29. You see that boldness. There was no position that he could not stop. Because he had God though. It was enough. Psalm 18 verse 29. He said, oh my soul. 18:29. Come on. It's like I should use my own phone. My own tab. Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 18 verse 29. Say, for by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God, have I leaped over a wall. So David wasn't someone that would see a troop and start drawing back. By my God, I will run through a troop. That is the heart people. You know, if you're not bold, you can't go for the lion's share. I don't know if I'm talking to the right audience. If you're not bold, it takes boldness to go for the lion's share. It takes boldness. Some of you see some applications that you are qualified for and they're advertising for like 4 or 5 opportunities. Something you just carry to go for the lowest. That's timidity. The Bible tells us God has not given us the spirit of fear. And if God has not given us the spirit of fear, it means I don't have fear. It means every time I see fear in me, it is the devil that put it there because God did not give it to me. I have a sound mind. The man was bold. Glory to God. You know, in Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, I think verse 4. Glory to God. Verse 34, verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I like that. All my fears. So there was no fear. God delivered him. And there are some of you that God needs to deliver from your fears. You see, fear is a spirit that can hold people down. So God had to deliver David. You know, one day he was talking in Psalm 23 and verse 4. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. That's the heart. There was so much boldness towards any opposition, anything that would rise against it. How many of you, what the missing link in your journey to success is boldness? We just need to add it. You don't go for the lion. I'm hearing it in my spirit. You don't go for the lion's share. You don't go for the little. You always go for peanuts. It takes boldness to know that you deserve more. I told God once, I said, if you say I should stay in this Enugu, then I have my portion in this land. And when I mean my portion, it's not in the spirit. There is a plot, there are plots of land that belong to me in this land. My portion is here. There are houses that belong to me here. My portion is here. There are people that belong to me here. My portion is here. There are cars. Again, everything that I should stay here, then that is my portion is here. And I go for big things. If you work with me, you should know. I was talking to somebody in my office yesterday. We were having a conversation. And I said, why have you not done this? He said, I would have to put money. Why have not done this? I would have to put money. I looked at him, I said, any day you want to execute a project, remove money as the problem. Money has never stopped anybody. You know what I said? Money has never stopped anybody. I said, there is nothing I've ever wanted to do that money stopped. Put this down somewhere and start thinking like me. Let me tell you, except I've not prayed and decided to do it. I just finished praying and God said move. Now when God said it's your year of lands, the first thing I went to check was not how much did they sell lands. That's not important. Who's following me at all? If God said it's your year of lands, did he say it? That's what matters. Go for the lion's share. Be bold towards life. Be bold towards any opposition. I'm a very bold person and you know it. I respect you, but I'm bold. I'm coming to something very important now. The man was bold. He said, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. I fear no evil. I love Psalm 46 and verse 1. I fear no evil. Psalm 46 verse 1. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Will not we fear? You know, look at what shocked me when I was reading this. He said, I will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Why will he not be afraid? There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And I tell you, there is a river. You see, learn to face life with boldness. Learn to face challenges with boldness. Learn to face oppositions with boldness. If you want it, you will have it. That's the truth. Now, another place you see David's boldness manifested, I had to save this for now, is that he was bold towards men. One time I told somebody, I said, until you are delivered from the fear of men, you can't pull through. All of us are too afraid of men. The fear of men. Goliath stood before. You see, even the way David was addressing Saul, he was honorable, was not afraid. Some of you, the reason why you've not even gone to where you're supposed to get to, because you're afraid of men. You can't stand before man to talk. So men come out with their glory and just forgetting what I want you. Why are you like that? Shake that stuff off. Why, you know, when they brought him, you see the confidence. He heard the guy talking, Goliath. He said, who is that guy? As he was asking questions, the elder brother came to stop him. He moved away. Started asking other people. When they brought him before Saul, now bear this in mind, a 70-year-old boy. They brought before the president of the nation. And Saul asked him, you said you can kill Goliath? He said, yes. He said, you don't have experience. He said, no, sir, don't say that. I was keeping my father's sheep. And the lion came. And you know, the fear of men, you know, it was David's speech that convinced Saul that he can face Goliath. Are you in church this evening? Just his speech. After all, why, if not, why would King Saul allow a 70-year-old child to represent the whole Israel in a battle? The man was too bold. Sir, I'm not insulting you, but I'm telling you. You know, finally they put on. Saul said, okay, fine. Let's prepare you. Gave him his armor, all his weapons, all his clothes. He tried it. He couldn't move. They were too heavy for him. He says, sir, drop this thing. Keep your sword. Keep everything. Do you know the Bible said David killed Goliath and there was no sword in his hand? That shocked me. He said, minister to me recently. No single sword. I love that way the Bible put it. I think that's verse 52 or 53 of 1 Samuel 17. There was no sword in his hand. Hallelujah. There was no sword in his hand. And so it, you know, and that's very instructive because he didn't go, I think that was 50. He said, that's how David beat the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He hit him and killed him. No sword for David. Nothing. It takes boldness to see a man that has all those things and go with stone. And that's why the fear of man is the reason many people have not achieved or don't achieve. The fear of man, mortal man. Is the reason some people cannot. Let me tell you, I'm a very humble person. If you don't agree with that, it's your business. But I'm not a timid person. I get the point. Let me hear how I talk. Humility is not timidity. Humility is not talking small. When we talk boldly, they say you are proud. That's not pride. When we see pride, we know. So people are proud in their humility. They are bowing down to you. Say, sir, I celebrate you. They are proud, though. Their pride is that they are humble. I get the point. They are proud in the fact that they are humble. You say, me, I'm a very humble guy. I don't do such things. I'm a very bold person. And that's truth. And check every man that ever broke in the generation. The fear of man was killed totally. Fear of man. I mentioned all the men I mentioned for you here. Lies of Pastor Cyclone. The whole nation, the whole BFN, everybody said, hey, this one is fake. It's true. The fear of man. God has to pluck it out from you. What was that? Afraid. And I told somebody in my office yesterday, if you can kneel before God, you can stand before any man. I don't see why I talk to the father of the whole universe freely. I complain to God. Hope you know. So that I tell God, say, I don't understand what I do. You don't try for this one. And he'll just tell me, you know, God is not a tyrant. He will start explaining it to you. Say, I see, son, you just don't understand. So I can talk to God that way. I can talk to the devil. I see him in people. And I say, get out of that, brother. And he goes. Now, which devil is possessing whoever I cannot talk to? Some of you don't realize that sometimes when you go to some places and you meet some strange oppositions, that's a demonic manifestation. Sometimes, you hear what I'm saying? You get some places, not every time, but some places you get to, and a certain person just sees you and hates you for no reason, and is hating on you for no reason. Have you ever seen what I'm talking about? For some reason, nothing, you know, anything you do, it just doesn't like you. Talking bad, I just don't like you. Get out. Some of those things, it is the demon in that person. That is responding to this Holy Ghost you carry. Now, many of us don't know how to design these things. And then you go there and you say, ma, please, let me tell you. Sometimes, just bend your head. Remove your eye one place. Under your breath. Thou foul spirit. I do it, I'm telling you. Leave her alone. Out! So what are you saying? Nothing, man. Had a case like that. It wasn't me. Somebody, you know, in school then. So I'm going for a particular file. Said every day I go for that file. Every day I go for that file. Once I get there, the man says, I don't have time. Get out of my office. I don't want to see you. I've told you I don't want to see you particularly. Sir, who am I? You don't know me. So she kept talking. So she met me. I said, well, you're going to go back. And I put my hand on her. And I knew there was a fast with the as in attacking that man. And it has happened two times. This one was Esu to my school. She entered the office, greeted the man. The man said, hey, how may I help you? He says, I came for my fire. He said, why have you not come for this fire since? You students. Well, I don't know where it is, though. But I said, you'll look for it. He said, she said, fine. Do you know she lifted the first file on the table? Second one, the third one, the file was there. On the table. Sometimes the fear of man. You see, I was teaching you the other time, I was teaching you on spiritual boldness. You can be bold without being arrogant. And I showed you with the life of Paul. Paul was addressing those guys. He now says, sirs. He will put sir, but he'll say what he wants to say. That's not arrogance. I detest weakness. I detest timidity. You don't know why I detest it? It's a demonic spirit. God does not give it to us. I detest it. Look at Psalm 118 verse 16, verse 6 rather. Psalm 118 and verse 6. Ooh. Say, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can man do unto me? So you notice David's boldness is stemming from the fact that he trusts God. I get the point. I have God on my side, so what can you do? Some of you need to understand that God is on your side. What can man do? Let me ask you a question. What is the worst that man can do? What is the worst that man can do? Be bold. Be bold. Don't be timid. Be bold. Amen. There are some of you that have been denied things that belong to you. Because you are not able to. Maybe the person will say, no, no, no. You are not able to say, ma. See what actually happened. They say, no, 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 get out. See. Some of you that work with me, you know. I don't suppose they can talk to like, what's that? And one thing God has helped me master is, I don't lose my temper. I don't lose my temper easily. It's almost very impossible to lose my temper. So while you're shouting, no, 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 I'm just keeping my cool. When you're done talking, I'll explain. You say, get out. I say, excuse me, ma. See what really happened. I'm not going to insult you, but I'm going to be bold. I heard of some students. I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just telling you a story. But you know, something is just pissing me off. Some students, one of my people here was gisting me how they went to a lecturer's office and they wanted to write one particular exam. The lecturer said they will not write it. And they were all begging the man. And all of them now, about seven, how many of them, guys and girls, now knelt down with the man's office. I was begging the man. And the man still refused. I said, see, you guys piss me off. And sometimes people kneel down for your rights. Let me tell you, I am for peace, so. Say you know. But be a bold person. When you stand before any man for an interview, I don't expect you to enter an interview hall and then you are drawing line, you are drawing circle, you are paid. But keep your head up. And some of you, if you are struggling with inferiority, I want to teach you something. Apart from your confession and all that, begin to practice what I'm saying. Don't walk bending your head. Once you remember it, stretch out. Once you remember it, stretch out. Don't walk like this. What are you looking at? Look up. Walk like this. I get the point. Walk bold. Amen. I told you guys that in my school, I used to have one guy that was very ugly. God created all of us in his image. But this guy was interesting. He was really ugly. He was short. He was everything. But he was unusually bold. This guy went for the best of girls. And sometimes in my mind, I'm like, you should get size, though. Why? What makes you think this guy, and the girls will say yes? Now, the guy is ugly. The guy is not intelligent. He cannot even speak coherently. Can I say one more thing? Now, this is not to insult any political candidate, but let me say something. Every year, you know, when the election comes up, I watch. You see, the other election that produced, the last election that produced our current president, people had issues with him. He doesn't have certificates. He didn't even finish. But whatever convinced that man that he could come out and contest for Nigeria president has given him that seat. You see this current one now that we have. He's making statements that people cannot understand, yet people is following him. They are defending you with their life. Sometimes what is stopping you is not that you don't have everything, you are just timid. I get the point. He's making statements that people don't understand. Let me not say anything. For he's just saying, it's amazing. Sometimes, are you not amazed at some people are still following the guy? You see, sometimes you see people can't speak, they can't speak well. You see professors and doctors surround them. Boldness. They believe they deserve it. If I told you it's a stone, that's a lot of audacity. And once people talk bold like that, you by yourself will be wondering, what is, are they mad? But people are attracted by that boldness. You told you that it's a stone. Now you say, what kind of nonsense is that? That's what he said. What convinced him? And then you see a believer who carries the Holy Ghost, who believes he should be at the lowest level. He's in a company, he's at the lowest level, he's happy. So at least I pay me 180,000. You, your place is at the top. By reason of the covenant, you remember I was looking at that during the immersion. God told them, he said, you shall be the first and not the last. He said, you shall be above only. I put that, underline that in my Bible. Above only and not beneath. Only, only, only. That's where we belong. So it takes boldness, no fear of man, to go for the best. Stay, be bold. Psalm 56 verse 3. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So you see, it was trust in God that produced that kind of boldness. He said, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Once it is man born of a woman, don't be afraid. In verse 11, he said, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. Respect men, but don't be afraid. You think God is impressed by your timidity? You need to go and study humility. Let me tell you one definition of humility. Humility is agreeing with God's word. That's one definition. And if God's word said you are righteous, yes, you say I'm righteous. If God's word said you deserve the best, you say I deserve the best. You are being humble. You are submitting to the word of God. Are you following me this evening? That's humility. Humility is not to just be very low, to fidget through life. I know everybody has stage fright. But then you get so, your own is so bad that you cannot even come out and address people. Your hand is shaking, your leg is shaking. Stop it, that shaking. Let me tell you something you don't realize. All of us have the same issue. The first I handled my too, there was that issue too. Can I give you a little secret? Even the best public speakers, when they are to appear before a big crowd, they always have that fear. It's being able to conquer that fear and go and carry that mic, that is the boldness there. But your own, you're peeing on your clothes. I don't know what to say. Don't turn yourself into an object of pity. Don't do that. I get to the point. I am a proof that someone can come out timid and God's word will make you bold. And many of you are proofs of that, of the same thing too. There are some of you, I can remember the first time I met some of you, so timid, so afraid of life. But then you begin to learn God's word. You begin to go for the best. You begin to push for the best. You're not afraid of man. You're not afraid of man. And I know some of you, I know how these things happen. People talk to you down at a point in your life. But that's why I said it's a very stupid thing to be timid. People use their words to bring you down. Allow me to use God's word to bring you up. You believe what those people told you. Now believe what I'm telling you. You are not timid. You are not afraid. God has not given you fear. You are not afraid of any man in this world. And anything in this world. Now, when I talk this way, talk loud. That is deliberate. You know, one sign of timidity is to talk low. I hope you know. When people are afraid, that's why when I teach, when you make confessions, say it loudly. Say it loudly. I'll make it in Jesus' name. I'll make it in Jesus. That's already fear in that statement. I'll make it in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus. This exam, I'll pass this. That's not confession. I'm not afraid. Psalm 27 verse 1. I'm not afraid of anything in this world. Anything, anybody. And that is one thing. So you are wondering, how was David? You know why I'm reading Psalm? Because it's David writing. I hope you know why. He's the one writing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Is the Lord your light? Is the Lord your salvation? So David is now asking, who shall I fear? Like, if the Lord is my light and my salvation, who should I be afraid of? The Lord is the strength of my life. Come on, go back there. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And that was his testimony. They stumbled and fell. The man doesn't fight back. You come at him, you stumble and fall. So fight back. Why? As you are coming, he's moving. There are some of you that need to go to some offices and can't demand for what is yours after this meeting. With all humility. He said, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So no matter what happens, he said, I will not fear. Even if there is war, I will not fear. Is it not man born of a woman? I will not be afraid. And you know, you find that same thing of not being afraid of man in Jesus. You know, in Matthew, I'll close from here. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, I'll close this point from here. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28. Jesus, you know, they said it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrines. Now see verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So one thing that marked Jesus' teaching was authority. The scribes were teaching too, but there was a difference between his teaching and that of the scribes. He was teaching with authority. That's why I send you to go and preach for go for evangelism. You go there, you carry your Bible. I want to tell you that Jesus, you know, when Jesus came, he said, who sent you? He's your father. He loves us and he paid for our sins. On the cross of Calvary, if you believe in him, you will be changed. The person is even pitying you as you are talking. Hey, yeah, who sends this small girl to come and do this thing? Now, if that's how you start, it's fine. But every day you step out, speak more boldly. That's the progress. Some of us started like that. Did you ever start like that? Let me see if you ever started like that. Started like that. But every day you step out bolder. As if we are talking nonsense. Once you are bold with the rubbish. Have you not seen some clips of some men of God that are talking? That are talking absolute nonsense. But I said it's boldness. I wonder, Jesus Christ, why the one was giving one revelation, he was giving one rhema. Ah, God, I've never had that. That thing is not on that. There is no human being that should believe that thing. But people were there standing, putting their hand on their head. Some carry the Bible there and say, Jesus Christ, bring down your hand. In Acts chapter 4 verse 18, they threatened the apostles not to preach again. And their answer to those guys, very legendary. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And see what happened in verse 19. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. Verse 20. So he says, should I obey you now, or God? And I told him, verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen ahead. So you see, Peter and John, they're not the people that I tell them, don't preach again. They say, okay, we've heard. They blow, they say, oh God, there's no point agreeing that we'll preach this thing again. Sam bold. Whatever motivated David to run after Goliath is boldness. You know, I read that story again. You know, throughout this month, I've been reading that story again and again. The Bible said that David, immediately he finished talking, he ran towards Goliath. Like, he was not walking towards Goliath. Goliath, today is the last fight. I'm going to destroy you today. He ran. You know, when you are a soldier and you see a 70-year-old boy running towards you with force, even you will adjust. That's how we face oppositions. We run towards oppositions. We run towards problem. That's how I face life. I'm not someone that just gives up. I'm not going to attempt. I attempt everything. I attempt all questions. I attempt everything. Everything. I run towards it. I told somebody, why have you not written for this scholarship exam? He said, I don't think I'll get it. I said, write for it. Why have you not applied for this job? They said it's only for people that have first class. I have 2-1. Apply for that job. He said, they will not take me. Will they beat you on top? See, my heart is, I'm not someone that rejection mail can bring down. He said, we will not take you. Fine. What you don't realize, when I say you will not take me, I applied for about 75 more orders. I applied, just crazily, I applied for many jobs. About 75. So I have 74 more meals. I'm waiting for. You learn to go for life with boldness. And I told you, boldness is free speaking. Everybody, please, every man that is bold speaks freely. The apostle spoke freely. Sir, we have to preach. You begin to practice boldness by speaking. I told you, sometimes even when you're afraid in your heart, because there's an atom of fear in your heart, speak boldly. Speak freely. He saw lion and bear. He went towards them. Don't be that person that will see lion and bear coming and you hide. Be bold. Hallelujah. One of our centers, they were having venue, not a venue challenge, but the venue where they were using, they felt they were overpaying. So they went to negotiate. So they were talking with the lady, they were talking on chat with those, the authorities. They were chatting. And those guys were saying, "No, this is our last price, we're not going down and all that." So when they told me, I said, "Don't do that. Speak with them face to face." He said, "We cannot stop a meeting." I said, "Set up the meeting on Google Meet so you'll be seeing their face and they're seeing your face." I believe that there is the oil of God upon my forehead. Now I believe that strongly. If I meet you face to face and we talk, you agree. I said, and secondly, you need to talk to them face to face so that they will see, and you must speak boldly and tell them, "I want this price reduced." God, my mother. Let me tell you a story. Shall I tell you a story? A man of God, Reverend George, was praying in his room, and the Lord told him, "It is now time for." I've told this story many times. It's now time for TV ministry. And he didn't have. They didn't have the facility, equipment. They didn't have anything. They didn't have the TV, whatever, the camera. They didn't have all those things. God told him it's time. So he prayed. After praying, he boldly went and met one woman. Amen. Met one woman who had all those TV gadgets and all that. I told the woman, "I need these gadgets for our TV ministry." And the woman looked at him and said, "How much do you have?" And he asked the woman, "How much do you sell?" You know, some of you, you hear price and you start shaking. Well, not for today. "How much do you have? How much do you sell?" After they drank for some time, so he looked at the woman and said, "What if you give it to us for free?" I love boldness. Especially when God is backing you. The woman started laughing. So then the woman started laughing. Him too started laughing. The way he told the story, he said, "The joy in my spirit jumped on her." What she said. So I was laughing. She was laughing. I was laughing. We laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Tell him, he said, "What is man, man of God? Take." And that was it, for free. Sometimes it takes boldness to have the lion's share. To go for what you want. Some of you that were here know when we paid for this all. Then. Now, the price they put, or we didn't have the money at all. But we put up a meeting with the barrister. Now, for us to be able to beat down the hall to the price we are paying. Because I learned that from my pastor. they were to use a hall that was going for about 750,000 per use. They brought it up to 210,000. You see, it's the power of bold negotiation. Let's talk. This was, offer your price, they won't kill you. So we negotiated here. The problem is, I was negotiating. Who was with me? You were there? You were there? I think you were there too. And I was telling the man, if you agree on this price, we pay now. Friends and brethren, we didn't even have half of the money we were beating it down to. So he said, I said, if you agree, like if you say yes now, we pay now. And he agreed. I said, fine, go to your office and prepare the landlord tenancy agreement. We are coming to pay now. By the time we got to his house, the money was complete. We paid that day. It's the spirit of faith. He's always bold. He speaks boldly. I'm talking about money in millions, so I'm not talking about 30,000 naira. Before you think, I went to my account to bring it. Millions of naira. I love the spirit of faith. Faith manifests with free speaking. I get the point. Free speaking. I taught you one day, if you have a tongue, you should not be down. And sometimes, that's why some of you need to learn how to stay calm in the midst of challenges. And when you see me talking that day, you will not believe we don't have the money. You say, well, you see, this is what we are going to offer because we still have to do some works in this place. So once we just agree now, we'll write you. No, we're not writing check. I will send my... Do you know, I sent the finance team to the bank to go make the transfer when the money was not complete. Abi? I said, go and make transfer at the bank. Amen. Let me tell you, ministry is by the Spirit. Totally. We didn't get it by trial and error. There's a spirit in man. There's an anointing of the Holy Ghost that empowers from. I believe in the anointing. So that's also that when you're fighting against, you don't know what you're fighting against. If you didn't get it, this is not youth service. It's not 1 year mission work. I get it. This is lifetime. And God has empowered us for that. And all you need is to ever be able to say. To just say. I read our robots a lot. Just can you be able to just say that this will happen? Can you say? Can you say? So when you meet men, don't fidget before men. Don't fidget before men. Let me say this to you. You get into your exam hall. You read. Does it happen to you? You read the question from number one. Sit down for a moment. Number one to the end, and you don't know one thing. And what's your first reaction? I smile. Now that is natural. Sometimes when people say smiling, they say, "Ah, he obviously knows everything." I just laugh and bend my lesson. Like, wow, these people say. So what do I do next? I bend my head. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I pick my pen and start writing. He said, writing what? Anything. Like, once I just pray, I pick my pen, it will start flowing. And I've not failed an exam for. Like what I just said, but sometimes it's not that you did not read, but if you not read, that's another problem. You and God and Satan need to have meeting. Or sometimes, you know, you read this thing. Now, it looks like you can't remember anything. Sometimes you see people using ruler, you're wondering why they're using ruler. You can't remember anything. Now look at the weakness that many believers carry. They start crying in the hall. Let me tell you, touch your neighbor, say neighbor. Never cry towards life situations. Never. Don't cry. See, let me tell you, I'm not against crying, okay? But I have my principles about crying. Number one, there's a way not to cry. Don't cry like a hopeless person. Don't believe in that kind of tears. Number two, don't cry when you're alone. Under your pillow, you're going to cry yourself to depression. Number three, you need this one. Don't cry before the wrong people. People that will mock your tears. Are you following me this evening? Don't cry. There are people I don't cry before. A guy broke your heart, say you're no more doing. He stayed there. Don't cry that people you don't cry before. When you go back to your friends or you come to your pastor's office, say thank you. That's okay. When you are done, stand up and just move. And most times people come to my office and they stay crying like that. I let them cry. I allow them, let them just let out everything. Once they are done, I say, fine, you've cried enough, it's okay. It's now to move on with life now. Let me not see you get back to these tears. Let me close. Have you been blessed? Now I want to close with a final charge to round up everything I've learned, not for today, for the whole series. Acts 13 verse 36. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I have some prophetic words, God, I should speak over you. And I want to do that as we close. Acts 13, 36. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. The Bible said, David served his generation before he died. One thing I learned from David, the man did not stop. Look at, put up Amplified Classic. Put up Amplified, just quickly. Please, look at this. Give me like 10 more minutes. Let me round this up. For David, after he has served God's will and purpose and counsel, his own generation fell asleep in death. David did not leave anything. He didn't leave any assignments half done. The man walked in the will of God to the last. That the writer of Acts of Apostles said he served his generation to the last. He served his generation to the end. He fulfilled God's will for him. And not just that he fulfilled God's will for him, he left a legacy. And he left help for the next generation. You know, one thing the Lord spoke to me about in 1 Corinthians 28, the Bible tells us that when David wanted to, he finished his work. He said, the last thing I'm going to do before I die is that I will build a temple for the Lord. And the Lord told him, well, you can't build a temple for me. Your hand is stained with blood. So now, before I go to that story, the man had done everything he had to do. He was looking for more to do for God his generation. Christianity is not a short dash. It's not a remitter dash. It's marathon. It's for a lifetime. The will of God is not for 3 months. It's forever. I get to the point. At old age, he was looking for more. So the point that he found an assignment and God told him, please, you can't do this one. You've tried. Don't do this one for me. And is that interesting? God told him, well, don't do it. Your son will. Guess what David did? David gathered everything that his son will need to do that job. So in a sense, Solomon built the temple, but who really built it? Is he the person giving the order, say, put this here, put this? I'll be the one that gathered all the things together. He served his generation. Did the will of his generation and left a legacy for the next generation. I want to challenge you not to leave this earth without a tangible legacy. And let me tell you one of the legacies that I believe that God should help you leave behind. It is an inheritance for your children. You know, Proverbs 13 verse 32 tells us that a good man will leave an inheritance for his children and for his children's children. And that was David. Are you following me? That was David. So he did God's will, left an inheritance for his children, left a legacy, and moved on and died. What a way to die. Proverbs 13 verse 22. What a way to die. A good man will leave an inheritance for his children. It's a good man leave an inheritance for his children's children. You know, I'll share this story with you and I close. There is a way to do God's will in your generation. When you are done, you leave something for the next generation to build on. You don't end up like a liability. You don't end up on the way. I start telling stories. So I remember those days we used to be on fire for God. You do it to the end on fire for God. And then you leave something for your children to come. Brother Hagin read this scripture one day and decided that he was going to fulfill this scripture in his own time. That he would leave an inheritance for his children's children. I told you guys, even for his grandchildren that met him, Brother Hagin bought landed properties for his grandchildren. Now that's finance. That's financial, the financial part of it. And that's how you should live your life. I don't believe that you should live your life at old age begging. We're going to live so well in the will of God. fulfill God's plan for our life. Leave an inheritance so that you that refer to yourself as a child of the poor, your children should not have that same reputation or that same name. You are the child of a poor man. Your dad did his best, but you are the child of a poor man. That's what it is. Amen. But your children should not be children of poor men. They should be able to look back and say, my only worry in this life is how to fit into my father's shoes. Because the shoes are large. Can you imagine if you are Solomon, David's son, and David, after everything you have read that David did, David now said, I'm handing over to you. Solomon went to God and said, Father, give me wisdom. That's what I need. The man left wealth. So when Solomon was writing this scene, he knew what he was saying. He experienced it firsthand. The father left an inheritance for him. Talk of money, talk of everything. Even the work he was supposed to do, the father made sure that everything was ready. That's the kind of life we're going to live. Serving the will of God in our generation to the end. Fulfilling what God will have us to the end. And leaving something for the next generation to feed on. Hallelujah. That's my story. That is my song. I will not live a timid life. I will not live life like a failure. I will not get. You know, I read the book of 1 Kings, 1, 2 Kings, how that Prophet Elisha met a certain woman, and the woman was complaining that the husband is a prophet. But that the husband died, and since the husband died, all the people the husband have been going have been coming to her house to come and question them, and now they want to die. And I said in my spirit, that prophet maybe walked in the will of God, but did not take advantage of everything that God had made available for him. I don't believe that a good man should leave debts for his children. With all the knowledge you have, with where you started serving God, with all that I'm putting into your head every week, you can't leave that for your children. We leave an inheritance. That's why we face life boldly. We do the will of God in our generation. And some of you need this boldness to be able to do the will of God. Because some of you, the things that God will have you do, we go against what your family wants for you. Now, you don't rise against your family. I taught that last week, Abi. You don't ever fight your family. But you don't also bend. But there is a way to politely stand and say, Dad, you know, so many young people have married who they were not supposed to marry because they were not bold towards their family. Are you following me? They were not bold to tell their mom, Mom, please, I know you love me. I know you care about me. But ma, this is who I really want. So once their father said, as far as I'm concerned, that marriage will not hold in this house. And that is final. He goes, go in and can start talking. That's where you'll be talked out of the will of God. When your parents say you cannot marry who you want to marry, don't ignore them. Oh, they've seen things. So listen to their arguments. Have I taught this here before? Listen to their arguments. Listen to why they say you should not marry that person. Pay attention. Are they making valid points? Don't be driven by love. Amen. But when you finish listening and all their points is maybe based on sentiments. Ah, he's too tall. Oh, he's too short. I don't get the point. Or, he's from so-so village. Ah, village and that village. You don't know. It's all those things. But if they're making valid points like, I've looked at that girl's character. The way she came here, did not sweep anything in this house. That girl. If I'm making valid points, pay attention. Or hear things like, we ask questions about that young man. That guy, there's a story that he's into drugs. Don't say, Mommy, you just said to this guy, pay attention to what I say. But after you pay attention, you find out, okay, this is not anything scriptural. They just want to have their way. Don't chicken out. Don't fight them. I think I've taught you how to settle that, right? Number one is prayer. Amen? Why am I making this digression? Somebody needs this. Number one is prayer. When there is such an issue, get to prayer. Get to prayer. Number two, I'll give you five. I get four. I'm going to five. Number one is prayer. Number two is dialogue. It's not fight. Talk with them. Explain your views. Talk. Talk. Number three is mediation. Find someone that can mediate. I know what I'm saying. Find someone maybe that they listen to. And tell them, please, go talk to my mom and all that. Try to do that. Number four is patience. You have to be patient with them. Some of them, they formed those ideologies over the years. So you can't start fighting and say, all I know is that what I want, be patient. The number five is what I'm telling you now. Be bold. You get the point? You know, when you meet people that are above you, or people that, you know, be your elder brothers or something, and you don't act like you boldly know what you want, they will choose your destiny for you. And they care about you. That's why they're doing that. Because they look at you, you're not talking like, say, what do you want to do? I want to sell clothes. I also want to sell shoes. And I want to sell foodstuffs. I like foodstuffs. Then, I also want to study law. They already seen that this one is confused. So they're just going to say, well, all that is, they're going to travel abroad to Ukraine. But you know, when you know what you want, you're speaking boldly. Say, Mom, I'm not trying to say that you don't care about me. I know you have the best plans. But I've prayed about this. This is what I want. That is boldness that some of you need. And we all need. We must be bold. And I train my sons here. All my sons, my daughters, all of you. I tell you, you should respect me. You should honor me. But don't be afraid of me. Some of you know, once you come to my office and you're talking, as in that, I say, raise your head up. Talk to me boldly. I can't raise. I don't believe in that kind of followership. Where you are around me, you can't talk. Talk. Speak boldly. Speak respectfully, but speak boldly. I get what I'm talking about. Speak boldly. Talk to my father and say, Daddy, as soon as I see guys too, I will stone you. Is that how you're going to lead your family? And it's because of lack of boldness. That's what produces weak men. We were dealing with this at Man Up last year and last 2 years. Weak men all over the place because they're not bold. You see a man that loves a woman, he cannot, he's ready for marriage. Just woke up and go and say, I love you and I want to date you. You get there, that's it. How is your spiritual life? Do you pray? Do you study your Bible? See, okay, we know where you're going. Why were you not in church last Sunday? You are not in church. I looked out for you, I didn't see you. This is not good. Take your spiritual life seriously. The guy will take you serious as a mentor. I wonder if he will walk up to, you know, one of my mentors told me of how he wanted, when he wanted to get married. He said, I was this particular girl. He was really considering the girl, but then boldness, how to kind of push the girl. I wonder if the girl walked up to him and said, Pastor, please, I want to talk to you about something. That is this guy that is coming, and I'm considering him. He said, that's when it dawned on him that, you know, I told the girl, that's not the will of God. No, God did not send that brother. No. Go and pray again. Can it ever be the will of God? And it's not the will of God. That's why now you have to speak boldly. It cuts across everything, every area of life. I pray for you that spirit of God that makes for boldness, that makes for might, becomes evident in your life in the name of Jesus. And you uproot that seed of fear inside of you. From now, there is no more fear. From now, there is no more fear. From now, receive the ability to speak boldly, to face life boldly. Whatever vision God has put in your heart, that you've not carried out because of fear. Right now, you're going to step out and you have the results. No more hiding. No more hiding. It's time to stand up boldly and walk into all that God has put your hand to fulfill. In the name of Jesus. Right now, you are courageous. You are bold. You are not timid. You are not afraid of anything in this world or anyone in this world. I activate the spirit of might inside of you. I activate the spirit of might inside of you. I activate that spirit of boldness inside of you. That supernatural boldness gets expression in you now. In the name of Jesus. Be bold. You are bold. You are courageous. No fear here. No fear here. No timidity here. God has not given me fear. God has not given me timidity. God has not made me timid. Jeff, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I hold my head high because I'm the righteous. And the Bible tells me that the righteous is as bold as lion. And because I'm righteous, I am bold. I walk boldly. I talk boldly. I approach men boldly. Glory! You know, recently someone was in my office and I was talking to her about boldness. And I told her something. I said, sometimes we are not bold because we feel that is something we lack. So I asked her. She's a very wonderful sister, and I believe she's taken, of course, she has learned. She's getting better. I asked her, what is it that you think you lack that is making you timid, making you not bold? And she began to talk about, I said, talk about your physical, talk about her physical body. I'm not fine. I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. I wish, you know, I love Christos. And I told her, do you know that is why you walk the way you do? That is why you don't cut walk where you walk. So I asked the question. That's why you don't talk to me in both. That's why you don't. I can't address people. I said, I asked the question. Let me assume that. So I asked her, let me assume you are very fine. Like your own definition of fineness in your head. If you are like that, how will you walk? How will you talk? How will you approach people? I get to the point. So let's talk about money. Let's assume you have all the money. Your definition of rich in your head. How will I approach men? How will I address people? That is how to talk. Because God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know what I'm saying? Let's assume you are the best student in school. How are you going to read your books? You know, many people don't read their books because they believe, even after reading, I will still not do well. Let's assume you are the best in your class. How will you face your studies? How will you enter the exam hall? How will you prepare for the exam? That's how you see yourself. I know what I'm talking about. Let's assume you are the, you feel like I can't preach. Let's assume you are as gifted in teaching and preaching like Pastor Henry. How will you prepare yourself? How will you talk with audacity when you talk? That's how to see life. Be bold. The best things of this life belong to you. You must talk and act like you have them. Because in reality, you do. The Bible tells us, I showed you last 2 weeks. The Israelites said, we saw ourselves like grasshoppers. Remember that scripture? In our own eyes, and so did they see us. Men will see you how you see yourself. The reason it was possible for Saul to believe that David could kick Goliath, it was because David believed that he could kick Goliath. This is what I'm talking about. If David never believed that he could take down Goliath, Saul will not believe. Can I close now? There is a point in your life. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I just said it by the Holy Ghost. A point in your life and your ministry where nobody knows you. Nobody believes in you. There's a point in your business where you are the only one that knows what God has put in your heart. Your friends don't see it. Your neighbors don't see it. Your parents don't see it. Sometimes your mentors don't see it. But only you must know it. Because it is by knowing it and believing in it and being bold about it that others can begin to see it and know it. Why are you in church today? Why are you a PG member? Why is there a platform of grace at all? Because I dared to believe that this could happen. That's boldness. There's a point I only knew that God called me. Only me and myself and I. And we started after some time in Alba, and some of you are here. Things were not moving as we planned. Some Sundays we have 3 people, sometimes they 5, some 6 days, same 6 people. But I believe that I was bold about it more than any other thing. I get the point. I was bold, I was proud of my work. There's a level in your life that you're the only one that knows what God is saying to you. You're the only one that knows the big dreams you are seeing, you are having. The fact that men do not believe in it should not stop you. Believe in what God has put in your heart. And let's assume you have everything you have now. How will you walk? How will you laugh? How will you rejoice? How will you dress? How will you talk? How will you relate with people? Indeed, you have everything. So you dress that way. So you talk that way. So you rejoice that way. So you laugh that way. So you scream that way. So you pray that way. Are you following me? No room for fear. Say this with me. He said, I've never been afraid. That's what they have to say. He said, is that not true? The reborn spirit you have has never been afraid. It doesn't know fear. I've never been afraid. I've never known fear. I've never fidgeted at anything. Never, never. I've never been timid. I walk boldly. I talk boldly. I address life boldly. I do my business boldly. Nothing intimidates me at all. And listen to me. Some of you that have people here, that you have people here that have been working so hard to intimidate you all the while. You will return back to them as they're leaving this place a different person. Not to go and insult them, but to reply. You hear what I said? I don't even believe that it should be somewhere and somebody telling you, shut up, you are just like an idiot. You're just an idiot. Me. And for every time you take in those words and you swallow it, something is going down in your life. It's called your esteem. It's better to leave a job where they talk you down and match on your head and stay jobless. Because by the time, see the secret of life, by the time they're done matching on your head, they will still sack you. By the time they sack you, you cannot find another job. Why? The esteem you had before you went there have gone. So you don't even have the esteem again to go and stand for another interview. That's why, don't fight. But there is a way to walk. Some of you, there's a way to walk. There's a way to come into a company. Don't come into a company like, come in boldly. I get what I'm talking about. Come in boldly. Walk boldly. Talk boldly. Respectfully. Do your work very well. Don't be the person coming late. Don't be the one defaulting. Do your work boldly. Do your work excellently. And be bold. I get the point. When they say you are an idiot, you say, I'm sorry, sir, if I offended you. I'm sorry for not coming, doing what I should have done. But I'm not an idiot. Simple as that. Hallelujah. Be bold. Amen. But don't be arrogant. I think there's a teaching I have on supernatural boldness. Look for that message on the side. And that message, I took time to differentiate between boldness and arrogance. It's not the same thing. I don't have time to do it today. But be bold. Hallelujah. Why are you blessed this evening? Give God praise all over this place. Now, after rejoicing, lift your voice and give God thanks. I told you, your voice should be loudest when you give thanks. Lift your voice and give Him thanks. Your voice should be loudest when you give thanks. Hallelujah. Let's say these words together. Say, I will not end small. Do you believe these things? You know, there are things I tell you by the Spirit in this church that you need to go and paste in your house, in your room. I am not going to end small. I don't care where you started from. I say you will not end small. Any career path you choose, you will get to the top. Did you hear what I said? Any career path you are on, you will get to the top. That is where you belong. I will not end small. Are you bold? Then the best belongs to the bold. See, if you are bold, you have the best. I have the best. So I challenge you, go for the best. Aim for the sun. You will not miss it and hit the stars. You will hit the sun. Why? The Bible tells us that God is able to do exceedingly above all we ask. So when you aim at the sun, God doesn't keep you at the stars. He keeps you beyond the sun. The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. Leave this matter. Give Jesus praise all over this place. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Glory.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.